You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. You made it. It's Friday. We're here. We are here to entertain on your ride home from work. If you're already home, kicking back with an old-fashioned, or if you're at the bar for happy hour, Greg, Dom, we hope you're having a great night. We hope to enhance it with some fun. Greg is tipping back a cocktail right now in the form of water.
Water.
Okay. That is the voice of Greg Bach, who is coming to you live from Racine in Radio Park. I am coming to you from Marinette, Wisconsin, here in beautiful northeast Wisconsin. Finally, a gorgeous day up here, guys. And Dom Lee, as always, is in Madison at Civic Media headquarters, making sure you can all hear us and that we are on the air. Great job, Dom, by the way.
Well, thank you. Wow. Yeah. Jeez. God bless you.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. I'm doing really good. It's a nice day, like you said, in Madison. It's beautiful. I'm wearing shorts now. It doesn't get much better. Yeah, it's true. Wow.
Are they short shorts?
They're short shorts. You can see all my hairy legs. It's really nice. It's amazing.
Geez. Okay. I wonder if Dom, Greg, really knows what short shorts are.
Well, do you know the reference?
Mm-mm. Right, but like when we were growing up, Dom, short shorts barely covered. They were short. I mean, now I think your generation is much smarter and fashion conscious for the most part. But anyway. Good for you for wearing shorts. I'm not really a shorts. My legs look like bratwursts, so I don't typically wear shorts if I can avoid it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I don't have the hair that Dom has to cover up. The casing look.
Hell, Pete Schwab, we call them knockwurst legs over there.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And other than the skin color, they're gorgeous. I mean, I have great gams, guys. They're like...
Really over up and over, like 1 minute they're sausagey looking, next they're really nice. I don't know what you want us to think about your legs.
It's the pigment that keeps me from wearing shorts.
Gotcha. All right, guys,
it's great to be here with you on this Friday night. It is casual Friday. Ooh. Right, Dom?
It is. Let's do it.
Friday's here and the week's in the rear view. Whether you're still on the clock or already mentally checked out, Pete and Greg are here for you. So kick back and grab something to snack on. It's Casual Friday with Pete and Greg.
How about some sausage links? I love that. But when we come into the show, guys, how do we feel about the moo and back to Wisconsin?
It's a little too on the nose for you?
A little bit. I mean, we are America's Dairyland, but...
Take that, California.
Guys, we have a great show tonight. I'm very excited. My pal Rich Tallarico is going to be by after the bottom of the hour, after the news. Rich is a writer for the show, or was a writer for the show Key and Peele, the outstanding sketch comedy show. And he wrote many of their biggest sketches, but the one that really I think people know him for is the substitute teacher sketch. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliantly funny, and is in the Smithsonian as... Yeah. A sketch comedy, which is really cool. So Rich has written for Saturday Night Live, Mad TV. He's also part of a very noble effort that he is spearheading against studios and unions, making sure that writers and actors get paid when the studios use their likeness without compensating them. It's a very noble fight, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And he is also, Greg, he's been doing stand-up, but he's going to run a few bits by us. I think that could be fun.
Okay, all right. I like this. What do you got, kid? Tell us what you got.
Ah. Yeah.
I'm going to get like a cigar to chomp on.
Ah. Right. Let's watch someone else bomb for a change. Rich is outstanding. He's going to be here shortly. That'll be fun. And then in hour number two, this will be fun. It is National Coca-Cola Day. It's Have a Coke Day, right, Don?
Mm-hmm. Have a Coke Day.
National Have a Coke Day.
Yeah.
So that plays into our question of the night, which we'll get to. And also... a quiz, a Dom quiz that we're going to take in hour number two.
It's the, what do you want to call this? We want to call it the nightly games, the nightlight. Oh shoot, we had a name for it.
Nightlight game night. Nightlight game night.
I think that's
game night. Oh, game night. Game night is actually, folks, right here, right now. You are what witnessing. It's like Pete's legs. It's the sausage being made right now. It's the
maiden voyage. Oh, now we have a title with our. Yeah. It's like the Titanic. So hopefully we'll fare a little better.
It's going to be like everything we do on this show is going to be like old school McDonald's, where everything has night in it, NITE or LIT. It's all branded that way. Everything will be like that.
So. It's served us well so far. But yeah, what are we calling this, Dom? The soft drink quiz?
It's a true false quiz. So it's going to be have a Coke, true false edition. All right. That's what we're going to do.
Okay. All right. So, but we don't have a name for the actual, we're not calling it like the SDQ.
We can call
like
it
that.
The SDQ. Let's call it the SDQ.
The SDQ?
I'm just going with, I have no idea what he's talking
soft
about.
Drink quiz. SDQ.
Okay.
Guys, I'm spitballing. I'm not saying like, you know.
I like it.
Greg?
Yeah.
You went on a rant before, and I have to ask you this because you didn't go into details.
Yeah.
You have an issue with Facebook Marketplace. What happened?
I hate it. It's the worst place on earth. It's the most frustrating place on earth. It's like, you know how Disney World is supposed to be the happiest place on earth?
Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace is the most frustrating place on earth. Because I don't go on there often. In fact, I don't go on there anymore. Thank you very much, Mr. Zuckerberg. Couldn't remember his last name right there. Because what happens is you go on there and you put an item up for sale or even for free. Because the last time this happened to me, the thing was free. I wasn't even trying to charge anyone. I'm like, just get it off of my property already. But you put something on there, and what happens then is you get a barrage of messages from people or bots. I'm not sure. At this point, I'm believing more and more in the dead internet theory, but it's just like, 30 messages saying, still available? Okay. Yes, it's still available. Are you interested in it? No response for like an hour. Still available? Yes, it's still available. Great. Where do you live? Well, let me know when you're coming. I'll give you my address then. Cool. Sorry, can't make it. Like, I like corner off everybody else. This is what happened with some patio furniture I was trying to get rid of. This one lady got in touch with me. She seemed very real. And we went back and forth, and she finally said, I'll come over on this evening. Cool. All right, I'm sitting there waiting, and then she sends a message, and she just goes, yeah, sorry, I can't show up anymore. I'm like, you know what? Never again. Because then I have all these other messages saying, it's still available? I'll pay cash. I'm like, it's free. I don't even want any money. It's just a very frustrating place to enter into, and it's not worth it. Like, right. I don't have anything. If I have something of value, I'm going to sell it on eBay, or I'm going to sell it through some other means, but I will never, ever go on Facebook Marketplace. And it's not even just Facebook Marketplace either. Like, there are now these little group pages where it's local communities saying, like, there's a great movement of relocation-free stuff. So instead of selling it, saying, hey, I've got this lawnmower. It's a little junky, but it's still working well. If someone would like it, if they need it, you can do that. And I love that idea. The problem is, it's just like Facebook Marketplace. And here's the other thing, too. People get really, really burn-minded with how they want to approach your stuff. Like, one person said, ew, next. I'm like, you didn't have to put that on the... Right. You could have just scrolled past it.
It's just there to take a shot at you.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I hate this. I hate it. So I just put it on the curb, and someone took it that night. It's great. It's gone. It's out of my life. But I will never, ever do Facebook Marketplace again. It is just... It is a hellscape, and it is a punishment. And I tell you right now, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Wow. Okay. Whoa. I've only used it a couple times.
How's your Friday?
Well, it's fine. I want to ask you this, though, about Facebook, because I've noticed I'm not part of community groups, but I kind of like, I'm a voyeur sometimes. Like, I'll see what people are saying.
Yeah.
But what is the deal with, I've seen three separate posts of someone randomly posting and saying, hey, thinking about moving up there from Chicago and opening a restaurant. What's the climate like? And I'm like, I saw that like a year ago. Then I saw it again like months ago. And then I saw it again like 3 or 4 days ago. I'm like, what? It's not the same person, I don't think. But and people are answering the question like, well, we're a great community. It's like there's got to be some scam there. They're trying to pull information somehow.
I think they're trying to get people's counts. I think they're trying to just get like, because nowadays it's all about engagement. I mean, right. I see posts on Twitter all the time saying, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. What do you think? It's like,
right.
You don't care. This isn't a debate, and you know, but it's absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, that's, I don't know if it's a bot, but it's definitely someone who's just trying to get engagement.
Okay. That makes sense. Folks, we had a great, it was a fun show last night, guys, when we were talking about Bill Murray and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It was a great movie choice. Next week, we mentioned this last night, our Nightlight Movie Club film next week will be Airplane in honor of our guest from Monday night, David Zucker, who was here and insulted us. And then we talked a little bit about his career, which was fun for us.
Absolutely.
And then, no, but David was great. And we're going to celebrate his legacy, so to speak. And Airplane is next week's Nightlight Movie Club night. So Nightlight Movie Club pick. So you have time to watch the film and be part of the conversation. With that in mind, I think we should get to our question of the night. What do you think, guys?
Absolutely.
Well, as we mentioned, it's National Have a Coke Day. So our question of the night is, what is your favorite soft drink? Doesn't necessarily have to be soda, but it can be. It could be lemonade or Gatorade or whatever. But what are you kicking back with? What's your favorite soft drink? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave us a message on the stream if you're watching the radio at YouTube, Facebook, or the app Greg still calls Twitter, as do we all. And you can also text us on the Civic Media app. But let us know what your favorite soft drink is. I have to say, guys, I try not to drink soda. Mm-hmm. But when I want a soda, I gotta have a soda.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be one of my faves. I don't slum it.
Okay. Understood.
I'm not gonna drink a 7-Up.
Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't.
All right.
Royalty is in the room. Okay. Wow. I didn't realize we were like taking a hard hit like that. My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Really quick to Daniel Barry on the live stream just says, what's up all? Happy Friday. Happy Friday to you there, Danny.
Good Daniel, to hear from Daniel Dan. On a Friday. Wow, he's usually a middle of the week guy, but I like that he's branching out.
He's here for a casual Friday, baby.
He's got the whole family gathered around the radio, old school. And they're listening to Nightlight. I love it.
Welcome to our Friday. And also, it's Mother's Day coming up, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. That's all I got. I mean, I was going to go into like the barrage of a different kind of moms, and it's going to end up me saying dog mom, and then people are like, they're not real moms. And I'm like, tell my wife that.
Listen, let's celebrate moms next segment. We'll do a short break coming up here, but I want to talk to you about something that you found, this Letterman and Colbert. What did David Letterman say about CBS?
He said that they were lying weasels for the reasons why they're ending the show, and they are. They're absolute lying weasels. And I said this to you with Mike earlier this week or last week, and I think he should just do a regular last show and not give them anything so they can't make big money, because they'll make big money off the last show. They'll charge more.
Oh yeah.
And all this. He shouldn't. He should take that last show on the road and do it somewhere else, because they don't deserve that from him. And David Letterman's absolutely right.
That's a great idea. And they're a private company. Have the guts to say, we're going in a different direction. But it's all lies. You don't have to lie. Enough with the lying. All right. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are coming back to celebrate moms after this very short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We are back, and we're taking it easy because it's Casual Friday. Why do some people hate the Eagles, Greg?
I don't know.
It's weird.
Can I tell you something, Pete?
Yeah,
I tried really hard to dislike them too. I tried to join that thing of like, it's overdone and overblown and blah, blah. And then I'm like, no, these are great songs. They're great songwriters. Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, sometimes you get in that place where you're hanging out with certain people and they're like, yeah, maybe they're right. And you're like, no, they're wrong. They're complete. It's like people who say, Phil Collins is terrible. You're wrong.
Right.
So very, very wrong. But yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't understand it.
I will say, I've just never liked being around people. I mean, you know the song, what's the Who song? Rain Over Me? Yeah. Okay. I was like, whatever. I thought he was saying rain on me or whatever. I never listened to the song that hard. And I said that once, and a guy almost blew a gasket. Are you serious? Like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Music fan. You're not the one who wrote the song. And they get so indignant. It's crazy. And same thing with the Eagles hatred. I don't get it. I like them.
Yeah, they're great. And if you don't like them, that's fine. That's absolutely. If you don't like Phil Collins, that's fine. Like, I don't care. But like this thing of, God, it's the worst thing ever. I hate it. It's like, I don't think you should spend that much energy on anything, especially a band.
Right.
Silly. Not worth your time.
So, all right, folks, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We're having a little, we got off on a side note there, but we want to talk about moms right now because Mother's Day is right around the corner, as they say, 2 days away this Sunday. I still am formulating plans to celebrate my wife and her mom. My own mother is out of town, but what do you guys have planned?
I'm moving soon, so I'm not going to be able to see my parents, but I'm FaceTiming my mom, and she's going to be opening her gifts while I'm on FaceTime with her. But that's pretty much all Mother's Day. But
nice.
Still okay. Something. It's definitely something.
Yeah, what about you, Greg?
I am going to a baseball game with my mom and her companion, significant other, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I never have gotten the read on what they like the titles because they're both in their 80s. So boyfriend, girlfriend's a little, you know, we're past that.
But we're going to introduce him.
My man. No. No, Dennis.
Awkward.
No, we're going to a baseball game. Me, my wife, my mom, and Dennis, we're all going to go to a baseball game on Saturday. We're going to go to dinner beforehand, and because they are of their age, we're going to dinner at 4:30, so I'm just kidding.
Early bird special?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're going to go to the baseball game, and then actually on Sunday, we're going to go see Cabaret at UW Parkside, so it's going to be a whole weekend full of mom stuff, but unfortunately, we still have to carve out time for my mother-in-law, and not unfortunately. The unfortunate thing is she's not joining us. That's the unfortunate thing. Because here's the thing. My mom and my mother-in-law are like super tight, close, good buddies. Like they get along. Really? Oh, my dudes. When it comes to in-laws, this guy right here, Gregory S. Bach, I knocked it out of the park. My in-laws are amazing. I get along. I love them like family. My wife loves my family like their family. Like, it is just so, like, I cannot tell you how lucky I am. It is unfortunate she's not joining us, and I want to like, spend some time with her as well. We can either do it tomorrow, maybe on Sunday. If not, we'll take her out to dinner early next week. She loves the day. She loves the celebration, the hangout. She doesn't care about the day itself. So as long as we spend some time with it, that's what she cares about.
We go to visit my wife's mom, who lives about 200 feet away in a nursing care home. I'm not kidding.
No, I'm just because your parents live like next door, don't they?
Yeah, they live just down the road. That's why we ended up back here in Christmas City. It's like, where are we going to go? Well, both our parents, this is kind of a no-brainer.
I mean,
But my wife's mom, Peg, lives over here. And every time we go over there to visit her, the joke is, how long will it take Pete to fall asleep? Because it's about 90 degrees in there.
Oh,
because
God.
They're all in their 80s, you know, and I'm just like, ask me a question. I'll have to snap out of it. But we'll go over there and spend some time. It should be fun. Mare and I might drive to Green Bay. We'll see. Go,
my mom-in-law, she has the house at that temperature, but in the mid to upper 70s.
Yeah.
And one day we were there and she goes, does it feel hot in here? And I just finally go, it's always hot in here.
Right.
Because it is. It's always so hot in the house. And every time, like, it's just, I'm a big dude, so I need cooler temperatures.
Right. Hey, yeah. I got a question for you guys. Dom, listen, if you're lonely, you drive up to Christmas City, you can come see my mother-in-law with me, all right?
Well, if I'm lonely.
All right. Well, I'm just saying on Mother's Day, because you can't be with your mother.
That's true, yeah.
We'll give you, like, a pseudo-mom, and I'll go, Peg, this is Dom. He insisted on being here. No. And we will just, you know, you can hang out a little bit.
This is my brother. Dom.
Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite soft drink? It's National Have a Coke Day. Dom is going to give us a quiz in hour number two about soft drinks. So we'll do that true false quiz. So
I'm sorry. We're going to have a quiz about soft drinks. It's true. It just sounds very funny to me when you say it out loud. Okay. I can't wait. It's just fun.
Casual. It's casual Friday.
Yeah. It's casual.
We came up with this together. Don't leave me out to dry. Don't make me the fall guy. I think it sounds stupid too. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. Dom's quizzes are fantastic. And now, is this a competition quiz?
This is a competition right now. Yes, it is. Right now, Pete is three. Greg is one.
Now I'm sweating already.
But you guys have
Greg has one.
He has one, but there's also a tie as well. This last quiz that you guys did, you tied.
Yeah.
So
whenever you guys try to give me like you got one, that's like seriously like patting me on the head and go, oh, you made a basket because I shot a granny shot from like 3 feet from the basket. It doesn't feel good.
We lifted you up too, so you could.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Real quick, do you have a favorite TV mom, guys?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I would have to say...
Marge Simpson.
Okay.
I put her, too.
Did you? Yep. Mm-hmm.
I put Marge and I put Sofia Vergara from Modern Family.
Shocking.
She's a great mom. What?
Okay. All right. I don't actually, you know what? I knew we were going to talk about this. I totally didn't think about it at all because I was other things. So I will think about it and I will get back to you guys before the end of the show. Favorite TV mom. All right. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Greg's going to mail that one in a little later. So we will be back. We're going to do the news. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the great sketch writer and comedian Rich Tallarico will be here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere. This is Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. It is a casual Friday version of Nightlight where we kick back and I drink a pretend old fashioned and we just kind of hang out. It's fun. Our question of the night is it's National Have a Coke Day. What is your favorite soft drink? So share that with us. And that's going to play into hour number two when Dom gives Greg and I, it's a competition, a true or false Have a Coke quiz, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that right?
You're getting exactly right.
But it's
right.
A game night. Okay. But without further ado, we should welcome our first and only guest of the evening. He's been on the show before. Very talented guy. He is a writer or was a writer for Key & Peele, Saturday Night Live, Mad TV. He wrote the famous substitute teacher sketch, which is writ in the halls of the Smithsonian Institute. And he joins us now over the stream from Buffalo, New York, Mr. Rich Tallarico. Hey, pal.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Greg. Hello, Dom. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Friday.
We have I'm sure you heard our question. Are you a soft drink guy, Rich? Do you drink soft drinks? And if so, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I was listening earlier and was thinking about my own answer. And I think you came down pretty hard on Sprite, right?
Seven Up. He called 7-Up the soda of the poor. Those were his exact words.
No, I did. I said I didn't want to slum it because there's not. I mean, 7-Up's lovely, though. It's a fine product.
Oh, very political.
You know, I feel like Pepsi tastes bad when it's forced upon me. You know, when you order a Coke and they're like, we don't have Coke, we have Pepsi. But I'm like, oh, this tastes terrible. But then there are moments when I'm in the store, I'm like, oh, I got to get a Pepsi. So I don't know what it is. I think it's like when it's forced on you.
Yeah.
And my other gag is I always go, I'm leaving.
No, we'll get you a Coke.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever went to Texas and I encountered their way of soft drinks and they were like, what would you like to drink? I was like, I like a soda. Like, you want a Coke? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, what kind do you want? A Coke. Well, like, what kind do you want? No, don't talk to me like I know what you're talking about. Tell me what you mean right now because you keep saying Coke. And I didn't realize all soda is Coke, which is mind-boggling to me.
Right. No, that's I've experienced that as well. That is really weird. But I kind of
when I first moved to Chicago, I first heard the word pop, and that was surprising.
I don't like pop. Yeah,
I'm really fine with it. I just it was new. That's all.
Okay. Do you have a product placement deal, Rich, with Carhartt? That's a sweet lid.
Thank you very much, Pete. And yes, if you go to Carhartt.com, use code Tallarico. You get 0% off.
That's my favorite.
That's how you get a deal,
let's,
though. You
let's stop giving them a free ad. I'll pull it up.
All right, so let's jump into what's going on with you, Rich. You've always got so many. We were part of a, Greg, Rich had a table read of a script online, and our pal, our mutual pal, Tom Clark, played the lead. Tom was very funny. I had no idea he had such great acting chops, but he was awesome. It was a very funny script. But you're in Buffalo now for a different reason and a different script. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, thank you very kindly. Yeah, I'm in Buffalo, Niagara Falls. I was here last year, started raising some money, started seeing some locations, met a lot of actors, and went to Florida for the winter. That's, some people call that a snowbird. I call that going AWOL. And I felt that when I came back to Buffalo in the spring. You know, it's like the soldier that went AWOL and comes home and's like, how's everybody doing? Did I miss anything? But I'm back in Buffalo. I'm teaching some classes at Buffalo Comedy Collective. And later in the year, we're going to be doing a stage version of the film project to keep raising interest, keep raising money. And been working on that project, as you know, for a little bit. And back here in Niagara Falls area to make it happen.
That's fantastic.
Nice. Now, you, like, as we said before, you were a writer on Key & Peele, SNL, and Mad TV. And as someone who's a fan of all of those programs, like, and as someone who, you know, at one point in my life was a sketch writer, can you talk to us about, like, the daily of being a writer on a sketch comedy show? I mean, from SNL is one sprint versus, I'm sure, Key & Peele is like a little bit easier, like not easier, but like you're not trying to churn out material immediately, always at all points. You know, I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong, Rich.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they're definitely slightly different animals, but it's the same species. And the, you know, with Key & Peele, actually, there were writers' room of six writers. And the Key & Peele and the other head writers basically wanted one sketch per day from everybody.
Wow.
But the truth is, we cranked out way more. And for the final season, we needed 128 sketches, and we wrote over 500. So they had a ton to pick from, which is why I think it came out well, because it was stuff they were really excited about doing. Mm-hmm. At SNL, you may write one or two or three scenes a week, depending on your seniority and your gumption and whatnot. But I think they generally want one writer focusing on at least one sketch, and you're kind of the producer of it. Mm-hmm. With Key & Peele, those scenes would get rewritten six or seven times, you know, by us in the writer's room before it went to production. At SNL, there still are rewrites. You know, you write it Tuesday night, you stay up all night. Wednesday's the table read, and Wednesday night you find out it's going in. And then you're meeting with the department heads, you're kind of working on rewrites from Thursday, Friday rehearsal, Saturday rehearsal, right up until the show. And I've had a few of those where it was like right at the almost 11:30, I was still getting stuff done. So, you know, high pressure, a little different in that way. Key & Peele, we wrote for 10 weeks and then they produced for 10 weeks. Mm. So we kind of loaded them up with stuff to produce and then they went and made it.
Do you, Rich, I'm kind of, people like Bob Odenkirk fascinate me because, you know, great stand-up, funny improv, Mr. Show, all this great stuff. And now he's this action hero. I mean, what on earth? It's mind-boggling and well-deserved, so talented. I kind of put Jordan Peele in that same category. Like, he was so funny on the show, as was Key. But did you see his success in the horror world coming or doing all these different kind of films? Did that surprise you?
Not really, only because, you know, I was talking to him and I actually helped with one of the reads of Get Out. I did some punch up on that. And he was always very focused on what he wanted to do next. There was a moment where we weren't sure if Key & Peele wanted to come back for the final season. And of course, one of the writers was like, I hope they do. I've got a wedding to pay for, you know? Key & Peele, I think, were pretty interested even before the show ended to start doing some of their own stuff. And Jordan, to his great credit and his great genius, you know, put all of his eggs in that basket and said, I'm going to direct this horror film. And this is what I'd like to do, and found the right partnerships and, you know, the stars aligned. And, you know, there you go. It's really launched him quite well and into the film world. And, you know, he's obviously, you know, one of the top of the tops.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely up there. That's amazing.
And you said you're working on your own film. You're doing, you said there's going to be a stage rating. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, thanks so much, Greg. Yeah, for sure. The project that I'm, you know, I'm wearing my producer hat now, sponsored by Carhartt. But I'm wearing my producer hat in this capacity because this script has been written, and it's called The Widow Daredevil. And it is about the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
So great.
And her name was Annie Edson Taylor. And she was 63 when she did it. Wow. And I think it's so funny. I mean, the story captivated me from when I was a little kid and I went to Niagara Falls and learned about her. And a couple of years ago, I had some, you know, spec time. So I wanted to write something. And this was just jumping to mind. I read everything I could find about her. And, you know, at 63, she decides to become a daredevil. And, you know, I'm 52. And if you just asked me to get into and out of a barrel, never, I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even do that. So she was a like retired charm school teacher. And she was this kind of prickly Victorian era lady who was used to living a certain way. And she was facing the poorhouse. And she said, I'd rather be dead than have no money. And she concocted this scheme and everybody walked away from her. They thought it was a suicide mission. And she ended up, you know, getting a little team of people together. She pulled it off. And that's really just the halfway point of the story as far as I'm telling it. Yeah. And I focused on some of her students and how she affected them to become suffragists. And along the way, Annie had a lot of challenges. You know, she did the stunt, got no credit for it, really no accolades. Her manager stole the barrel and took it on speaking tours without her. And then 10 years after she did the stunt, 10 years after she did the stunt, a man went over the falls in a conveyance and got all the credit that she never did.
Oh my gosh.
It's a historical dramedy. You know, there's a lot of comedy in it. There's a lot of drama in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd really like to get that made. And I do have some support here in the Niagara Falls area. We did some table reads at the Chautauqua Women's Club, who've been really supportive, Niagara University, and at Buffalo Comedy Collective. So it's been a cool journey. And, you know, it isn't going to happen if I don't do anything. So I'm going to keep pushing on it. And, you know, with film projects, it can take years. Forrest Gump took like 9 years for them to get, you know, sitting with Tom Hanks on the bench.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, I'm putting the work in on that. And then also this other script that Pete was talking about. So, you know, definitely I'm working more on screenplays. I do a lot of teaching. I do a lot of stand-up and enjoying life here in Buffalo now that the snow is gone.
That's nice. Fantastic. That's the voice of Rich Tallarico, folks. He was a Key and Peele writer, SNL writer, and Mad TV. He's also a screenwriter and a stand-up comedian. We're going to talk about Rich's stand-up in just a few minutes. But I want to ask you before we lose our time here, Rich, about this crusade. You're on a crusade kind of against the studios and for fairness and pay and all that kind of stuff. The website is endingcorporatepiracy.com. I've signed the petition. My name doesn't mean anything, but I guess numbers are good. Tell us where that is at and what exactly you're doing.
Thank you so kindly, Pete. Thanks for signing. Yeah. Pete, you're in the industry, of course, and you know, I think you signed under the actors part of the page. There's a place for industry actors, industry writers to sign, union members, but there's also a place for fans and interested people to sign. And what are you signing? Well, it's corporate sponsored piracy. And this is something that has kind of slowly emerged as something we didn't even really know was happening. But it basically, the way it works is when somebody uploads a random clip of Key and Peele, for example, maybe it's one of our sketches, it gets uploaded to YouTube. Now YouTube gives the studio, in this case Paramount, the chance to take it down because it's an illegal upload, or leave it up and put ads on it and monetize the ads. YouTube takes 45% of the ad generated revenue and the studios get 55% of it. And that's totally fine. The problem is the studios are not paying royalties to writers, actors, directors, and musicians. And YouTube, and this is just YouTube that we're talking about, it gets bigger when you look at the other platforms, but YouTube puts out their own transparency report, which admits that they're paying the studios. They've paid out, YouTube has paid out $12
billion
since they started doing this, $3 billion in 2024 alone. Now, Jeez. The studios at least one of them is telling the union that they're not making any money on these. But we have a YouTube insider who says, no, no, you are. We also have the YouTube transparency report and our own payments. You know, our payments are consistent for the project. So that tells us that there's nothing coming in from these uploads because it would be different every quarter.
That's unbelievable. I applaud you so much, Rich, for that undertaking because it's time consuming and you're doing a great job. So please keep it up and let us know how we can help. And if you want to help, go to endingcorporatepiracy.com. Support the working man and the arts community. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal Rich Tallarico, and he's going to run some new material by us, folks. You don't want to miss this. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Craig.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. That's a good one, Dom. Beginnings, right?
Yeah.
Love it. One of my faves. I'm Pete Schwabba. He is Greg Bach, coming to you live just down the coast here in Lake Michigan. And Dom is holding down the fort in Madison. We are the Yotterhay Triangle. And this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We have a few more minutes with our pal, Rich Tallarico, the incredibly talented, multi-talented Rich Tallarico. Rich, tell us about your stand-up. You got a great gig coming up with David Koechner, who's so damn funny. I can't even picture the two of you on the same show. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Yeah, I'm very lucky. There's a great club in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is pretty close to where I've been hanging out here in Niagara Falls. And the club is called Keller's Comedy and Magic Club. And the club is very cool. I mean, Harry Keller is from Erie, Pennsylvania, like grew up a few blocks from where the club is. It used to be Junior's Last Stand, if anybody remembers.
That name sounds familiar, yeah.
It was an incredibly clean club, but now they've done it. It's a very nice, like it has a very nice, like, you know, magic-y, everything's black. It's a very nice place, good food. And I was lucky enough to open for Kevin Nealon there in the fall. And in July, I'll be opening two nights for David Koechner, July 10th and 11th at Keller's in Erie. So hopefully people will be on the re-listen closer to the time and we'll
break a leg.
Is Kevin Nealon a guy you can talk to? And what I mean by that is anytime I see him interviewed, he always seems to be in bit mode. And sometimes comics can be like that in the green room as well, where you're just sort of like, okay, I got to go and do something else because it's just like it's just too much bits. Is Kevin like that where he's just bits all the time?
He's pretty bitty. I actually worked with him maybe like 10 years ago on a pilot that Tim Meadows was the host and Kevin Nealon was in it. And so I was like, oh, I got to mention that to Kevin. So I, you know, go backstage and I'm like, hey, Kevin, I'm Rich. Nice to meet you. I go, you know, we worked together on a pilot and he didn't seem to register. I said, it was, you know, maybe 10 years ago, Tim Meadows was the host. And it was like 10 years ago. And he goes, I only go back 3 years.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. I'm going to start saying that.
Rich Tallarico is with us, Key and Peele writer, Mad TV, SNL, very talented guy. Rich, I have a Kevin Nealon story. I was at Largo in LA once, and he's on stage crushing it. And all of a sudden, it was like mid to late 90s, someone starts shaking a martini thing with the ice, and it's very distracting. And Kevin goes, ah, that's great. Somebody saw Swingers last night. Rich, we got, you know, about 3 or 4 minutes left. I would love to hear what you're planning on doing in your stand-up set. What can you run a couple bits by us? Do you want to? We can help you workshop them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do some of your skits.
Yeah.
Well, here's a couple of things. Like I have my iPad here with some stuff that I haven't tried yet. Okay. So I thought I'd give you guys a topic and you guys can pick one of two topics. So it's either going to be on the road or what I look like.
Go for it, Greg.
I'm going to say on the road because there's a lot of what I look likes out there, and I want to hear on the road first.
Okay.
That works.
You know, I'm on the road a lot, and I saw a sign to make, you know, you think about all the signs that you're passing. One sign said I was driving on an unadopted highway. It looked sad but hopeful.
That's good.
Dude, you don't need our help.
Yeah. another sign said, speed enforced by photo. And I'm like, how the hell did they do that? What do they get? Some sergeant from the Sears portrait studio on the side of the road. And he's there with one of those old cameras. You drive by. That's it. And then they pull you over and the guy gets out of the car shaking a Polaroid. And he's like, hey, got this picture of you back there. You were look pretty blurry in this picture.
I like it.
I like this. Like, you were going fast. Do you have any proof? I do. You got to wait about 90 seconds, but it's right there.
Right. It's you in a blur.
The other thing you could do is with the adopt a highway, you could actually adopt the highway. Then when you get pulled over, you could say, you know what? Why don't you take a pass in this? I own this road.
Yeah,
that's right.
See that name on the sign there? Tallarico with a T?
This highway's my kid, all right?
Yeah, I was driving to get to my kid. Right, yeah. And then I feel bad that I don't drive on the highway very often.
You're an absent adopted. Yeah.
It's a real cats in the cradle situation.
That's really why I pulled you over. Your adopted highway here says they never see you.
You're behind on highway child support.
You're not making your payments. Look at the garbage on the side of the road there.
Oh, man. This, folks listening, this is what comics do all the time when they're in rooms together.
That's right. We got about a minute left, Rich. You got one more?
Yeah, give us some more.
Two new topics.
Okay.
Things that you think about when you're high and things that I'm holding on.
Pete, you choose.
High.
And
I don't even smoke.
Well, the weed is very strong these days. And I find I have a lot of random thoughts like, a true psychic can never be murdered. I don't like it when people say I'm a night owl. You know, I'm like, as opposed to what? A day owl? Just say I'm an owl.
Dude. When
people say live each day as if it's your last. That's why I spend every day lying in bed surrounded by crying loved ones.
And smoking weed. Dude, you are always so much fun.
Thank you so much, Rich.
I don't know if we helped or not, but I know you're going to crush it. And have fun with Koechner. Outstanding. Keep up the great work. EndingCorporatePiracy.com, folks. Check it out. Put your name on the sheet and keep up the great work, pal. Hope we can do this again soon.
Thank you, family. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Pete. Yeah. Thank you, Dom.
Of course.
You got it. That's Rich Tallarico, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we'll read some of your texts and we're going to play Dom's game. It's a competition. You won't want to miss it. Pete and Greg, Nightlight.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.